Hi, and welcome to another episode of Web.dev. Today we're going to be talking about a very common problem facing developers. HTML markup, let's face it, it's messy. It's completely messy. If you look at the markup behind any major website, it is a floating sea of divs everywhere. No pun intended with a float there, by the way. So let's talk about a possible solution here today, web components. Will it save the day? Will it help clean up our markup? Stay tuned, let's find out.
If you go to any major website out there, in this particular case, CNN.com, but it could be Microsoft.com, it could be Gmail.com, any major website, and you look up the markup, and it is a mess. It's very difficult to understand what's going on here. You kind of, hopefully there's classes that are named a particular way. The markup, it's difficult to organize. Sometimes it's difficult to write. Now on the code side, for example, in C# or even JavaScript, we have constructs that we can use, like classes. In C# we can make assemblies, we have reusable components. ECMAScript 6 on the JavaScript side brought a bunch of new things that we can use for code organization like modules. But on the markup side, we've been left with just trying to hack it around and have our classes that get applied to divs. And it unfortunately makes our markup very difficult to read. HTML5 brought some new elements. For example, if we're looking at sections, articles, things that can be used by other applications to pull out the content they need, maybe other news readers, or to show the intent of how we're going to lay out that page. But we still have a lot of other divs and layout elements going on in there. And it makes code reuse, markup reuse, quite difficult. We have other tricks on the server side that we can use. For example, in going back to ASP.NET, early days we had things known as master pages. Going to MVC, we had layouts. But other technologies had other templating solutions, so it was easier to get smaller code on the server side, but the client side still remained this big ugly mess. That's where web components come into play. They help solve some of this issue for us, give us some reusable mechanisms that we can use on our pages in our markup. It's comprised of four other areas, so let's talk about those. This is one of maybe two slides that you're going to see today in this particular presentation. So this is just to give you a list of the four items that make up web components. The first is custom elements. So on a web page in a DOM, you think of a button element or an image element. You create your own custom elements. For example, maybe you had your own one for a Facebook like button. You could have angle bracket Facebook dash like, or custom dash footer, or customer dash contact dash card. Any of your own named custom elements on a web page. This is actually used quite a bit by Ionic and the Angular framework and also Ember.js. Next is HTML imports. This is pretty neat because this allows you to essentially reference another HTML page that has content to be loaded into the current page, the current DOM, for example. And this can be CSS, it could be HTML, it can also be JavaScript that you can reference through this HTML import. Next are templates. Templates, something that's supported right now in most modern browsers, and that will give you the ability to apply take a bit of DOM, a bit of HTML content, and optionally apply a bit of style to it. Now this, the HTML imports, and the last item, Shadow DOM, are what enable web components to work. This last one, Shadow DOM, is being able to create essentially a little copy of a DOM that is only applicable to a particular element itself. In other words, your custom component, your custom web component that is called my-like-button, it can specify its own CSS that doesn't touch anybody else but your own component. And so that's done via the Shadow DOM. Let's go look into some detail in custom elements, and we'll see how this eventually just sprouts out into the HTML imports to templates and Shadow DOM, and how they're all used in making these custom elements essentially come to life as web components. If we head over to w3.org and we look at the current status of Shadow DOM, HTML imports, custom elements, templates, we find a couple interesting things out. Shadow DOM, HTML imports, and custom elements, notice they are all listed as draft. So as such, there's different browser support here. Now, I haven't mentioned templates yet because templates, as we'll find out in 1 second here, templates are actually supported cross-browser, cross-modern browser. There's a great website out there, webcomponents.org, where you can find out more information. Also, HTML5 Rocks is another amazing website with some great technical content on there on learning some of this. So here, if we look at templates, we can see across all the major browsers currently supported. But when we look at using HTML imports, custom elements, and Shadow DOM, we find that there's varying support across the browsers. The reason for this, and this is typically the problem when we get new standards that are coming about, is they are currently in flux, so nothing has been completely standardized yet. As such, some of the other browser manufacturers have said, you know what, we're going to hold off here a little bit, and we're just going to wait to see what happens before we eventually add the support to our browser, because it might change. Now, there are other libraries out there that you can use to support this in the current and older browsers to a certain extent. We're going to be looking at using Polymer today, which is a pretty cool library, which will do what's called a polyfill. Polyfill is, it will use JavaScript to create functionality in the browser that does not yet exist. So kind of essentially can backfill some of this technology there. Now, I said at first we're going to start talking about custom elements. Custom elements, you'll notice if we look over on Mozilla Developer Network, right away we see this is an experimental technology. Be advised that custom elements will be rewritten early 2016. It's unlikely that any of the previous implementations will work in the future. And that's not seemingly the best sign for us. But take care. We have some other libraries that we can work with meanwhile, so that will hopefully fill some of this gap, as I mentioned. Let's go ahead and look at Polymer and how we can get started using Polymer. For the next demo, when we talk about custom elements, what I've gone ahead and done is pulled in the Start Bootstrap SB Admin template. This is something that you can find out there on GitHub, and this gives you a pretty cool template that literally you can just copy this URL, go to a command line and type in git clone and this particular URL, and that will install this web application. Now, this web application looks like this. Let's actually maximize this. This gives us a pretty good area where we can understand what some of these custom elements can do for us, because we see bits and pieces on this page that clearly could be reusable components we can use across our various web pages. So I think this is going to be a good web application for us. Now, a couple other things I've done into this folder that I've created this application into, that I did my git clone into, I've also set up a couple other things. But even before then, I've installed Node.js, which you can find at nodejs.org. Node.js will give you npm, Node Package Manager. And through Node Package Manager, we can install Bower, which is a package manager, another package manager, typically used for front-end web development. And we're also installing PolyServe. Now, I'm not using PolyServe in this demo. I just want to kind of give a heads up that depending on how you are working with your dependencies and using Bower and how Bower can list your dependencies, you might have some problems testing out some of your web components from your web applications while you're developing. PolyServe attempts to kind of flatten them out to make it work a little bit better. We're going to use a very simple case, so it's going to work okay for what we're doing. I just want to kind of give a heads up there. And on the website that I was showing earlier, and if we look at over on webcomponents.org, if you start reading through this stuff and go over to Polymer, Polymer will also talk about using PolyServe. So that's why I just wanted to show you that was listed here. Now, also from our application that we downloaded here, the git clone one, it already has a bower.json file, so I don't need to do a bower.init, or a bower init, I should say. But if you are creating a new web application and you want to do some of this at the command line, you'll want to do bower init, and that will create a bower.json file for you. And that way, when you install your next bower dependency, example, the Polymer library that we're going to use, and you specify dash dash save, it will actually write it to your bower.json file. So your application knows it's a dependency, and you can restore it in the future, you can manage its versions. If you are not familiar with npm or bower at all, have no fear. We have a couple different items out there for you. In fact, I have a couple URLs up here. Let me just grab them. Package management and workflow automation. Jeremy Foster, a coworker of mine, and myself, we did this package management and workflow automation free course on Microsoft Virtual Academy, where we talk about npm, grunt, gulp, bower, chocolatey, apt-get, all the different package managers and ways to control them and workflow automation using the JavaScript task runners. Check that out. That's on Microsoft Virtual Academy. Also, I have an article in MSDN Magazine on using Bower, also on Grunt and Gulp as well. So check those out. And you can just search for my last name, Tulipper and Bower, or Tulipper Foster Package Management Workflow Automation. Okay, back to what we're looking at here. So after we've done the Bower install and save Polymer, we are set and ready to go. So let's go ahead and look at this application and figure out where we can fit in with some of our custom elements. Now the reason we're going to use Polymer here is, again, I want to stress, these elements are changing. The way that you use them might change. There are other ways of using them. We're going to define them using Polymer. There are other ways. You can use pure JavaScript, essentially ECMAScript 5 based JavaScript. You can use classes in JavaScript, so you can use ECMAScript 6 JavaScript classes as well to be able to extend your elements and create your own custom elements. So there's a couple different ways that you can do this, but I do want to stress that these techniques here can change. So I'm going to show you using essentially another framework using Polymer so that we can write it against a framework, and that will, where appropriate, use the particular standards behind the scenes if it detects that your browser supports it. Let's look at an example of using it. All right, in order to run the site, before we add our own custom HTML template to the site, let's go ahead and just go to a command line and say npm install http-server-g, and that's going to install just a lightweight HTTP server, in other words, a web server, globally on our system. So let me clear the screen and say http-server. Actually, let's switch to that particular folder this web app is in, and then we'll say http-server-o to launch it in the browser. And this started me in the wrong folder here, so let's go ahead and say index.html. All right, so here's our actual web page. We are up and running. Let's go look at our markup for this particular web page. And if I look in Visual Studio Code here, I've done just a couple things so far. So I've installed that application, and when I installed that application, if we look at it on the file system, you'll notice there's a Bower components folder. This is all the Bower packages that exist here. Because at the command line, I did the Bower install Polymer, we can see that Polymer is installed here. Because it's there, we need to go ahead and add references to it. Now, you'll notice this out of the box is referring to items inside of Bower components. I would not do that going to production. I would actually use a gulp script that grabs all the files out of Bower components, and it would concatenate and minify or uglify the CSS and do the same thing for CSS. JavaScript. You can find in my article on MSDN Magazine on using Grunt and Gulp, there's some workflows there for that. But just know this is currently in a development stage, so that's why you see this pointing to the Bower components folder, which I would not do for a production application. So Polymer has been filled. Polymer has been added to the website, and I've come in here and added the script reference as per its documentation. And notice that we're referring to the Web Components Lite script here. There's a non-lite version which uses Shadow DOM, and it is a little bit more heavy on the web page than this particular version. So that's why we're using this recommended version here. And also, right here we have the support to bring in Polymer.html, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So Polymer is set to go. Now we need to use some sort of custom component. We want to create my custom element on the web page. Why do we want to do that? Because we want to organize something in here. We eventually want to replace something on the page. We can take this guy right here and turn this into our own custom tag that we can use wherever we want in our application. That's the goal of this. And so in here I have just a little basic template that we can use. This is a Polymer template, and the syntax basically lists that we need to import Polymer. In other words, this particular template, this particular custom element that we're going to specify, relies on Polymer. Secondly, we use the DOM module, and we specify the ID. In other words, what is the name of our element going to be? We'll call it My Custom Element. And down here, we specify the same thing. Polymer is, this item is a My Custom Element. Now I could save this and refer to this on the page. We're going to do that in another future step. But for now, I just want to show you, we can actually take just this template right here and just copy it out. Notice I'm not including the top because I've already included this in my web page. I'm just copying out the DOM module and going back to my index.html. And let's just kind of be messy and paste it right here. All right, perfect. So here's my DOM module. Now this in of itself is not doing anything. In other words, it's not going to load my template that I'm going to specify here yet. We're going to talk about templates next. But here, let's just say my custom HTML template content. Think of this as just the content that will exist inside of your custom HTML element. Now we can define a whole bunch of methods here. We can define methods that when this gets attached to the DOM, when this particular item is being used. So there's a whole bunch of different portions of this this element's lifecycle that we can hook into. Right now, we're not doing that. We're going to keep it bare bones so you can essentially see a real basic use case here. So we've defined our custom element. After that, we just simply use our custom element by creating a tag. My custom element. Now this cannot be a self-closing tag. We need to actually close the tag itself. And let me just say test content inside of here. So we can see that this says test content, but really it should be overwritten with my custom HTML template /content. Let's go ahead back to the browser. Refresh this. There we go. Now, of course, it doesn't do much yet, but we can see that we have my custom HTML template. Let's go ahead and inspect this element and see what it looks like on the web page. Look at that right there, my custom element. And it responds just like an element in the page. It understands it. It treats this like an HTML element. I can come in here and delete element, hide element. It sees this as an element. Let's go ahead and delete that. So just like that, we've been able to add our own custom HTML element to the page. Now again, we can do this in a purely JavaScript manner. I like this because it makes it a little bit more organized. So let's take this one step further and build off this template a little bit more. Before we continue on with this actual custom element, let's take a moment to talk about the template here. Template is an element that is supported in all major browsers. So what can we do inside of here? When does this content actually get loaded? Well, there's a separate example that I based on something that I found on a particular website on html5rocks.com, which is an awesome website. Definitely recommend checking it out. And this example is pretty simple. It is literally, it's just an HTML page. All we have is a button. We have a div. We have a little bit of JavaScript. And we have an HTML template defined here. Now, I've added some things on this template here just to show you a couple things. There's an image. There's some JavaScript, and there's another image that doesn't actually exist. And so when you use a template and you create an instance of a template on the page, it's called stamping. You basically are creating, think of a cloning stamp. You're creating a clone of that object and you're stamping it onto the page. You're stamping this template. And so we're querying for this template and we're getting its content. In this particular example, because templates don't support data binding, which we'll look at next when we use Polymer. We're just going to kind of do some little manual hacks here. We're actually going to ask for the contents of its span right here, read the number, and increment it by one. And then wherever our div is on our page, we're going to append this template, this new template, as a child inside of this div. So let's go ahead and see that in action. I've run this with HTTP server, so we can see it in the web browser right now. And when I say stamp template, now notice we haven't loaded any image yet. We have our JavaScript that was executed here, which was right here, stamped template. So only when we click the button does this JavaScript get executed. We say okay, and now we see nothing. That GIF is pending, and that failed, and here's our image for a Microsoft website. Let's stamp the template again, create a separate instance of it, and let's see what happens. Our successful image has already been cached, so that's not actually loaded again. But since nothing, that gift was never loaded, it tries to load that again. But notice, as we keep going and going and going, we get multiple instances of this template that get added. So let's go ahead and inspect. And we can see there's our container. And here we have our, all down the line, this is our template. Each template gets some JavaScript included in there. There's our images, our JavaScript, image, JavaScript, on down the line. Just as we exactly as we have here. We have our div, image, JavaScript. Same thing that shows up in a browser. Div, image, JavaScript. Perfect. Now, The next case, the next issue that we have is we want to be a little bit smart and have kind of some better data binding here. So let's go ahead and kill the website and go back to our start Bootstrap admin. And let's go ahead and run HTTP server right here. Oops, HTTP server dash O. Launch the browser, although I have it already running, so I'll just refresh this. All right, so there's our test content. Let's go back and find that actual component that we were working on here. I'm sorry, the element that we were working on. And here we have my custom template /content. And here was this particular custom content here. Now let's go ahead and run this. And this is only listing the actual internal test content. So what I need to do here is make sure that we're bringing in Polymer. There we go. Okay, everything is working as it should be right now. Let's take this one step further. Right here, I want to be able to use some sort of data binding. So maybe I want to say some name that's going to get passed in, apostrophe S. This is their custom HTML template. So we're using the handlebars data binding syntax here, which is used in various languages, right? You can find this in Angular, you can find this inside of Ember, and just in Handlebars JavaScript library support itself. This is a very, very common way of doing data binding on a web page. Now here, what we can add on is the actual properties here. So properties, we can specify an actual name, right there, name. And the naming convention is actually important here, because if this is, for example, first name, just like that, and first name here, on our actual HTML element, this is going to be a dashed value here. So first dashed name is equal to Adam. Let's try that. So we have first name, and we're data binding that. So we're going to take whatever value we're passing in here, and we're going to data bind it here in our template. Now we could also specify a default value there if we wanted to. We can do that inside of the property definition. But let's go ahead and see what happens. Let's go and refresh this. There we go. Data binding in action. Adam's custom HTML template /content. So there's another cool technique using something that's already existed by the browsers with these HTML templates, which is one of the four components of web components. We use these HTML templates to go ahead and specify what we're going to display, but we've also used some of the power that Polymer adds on top, and it uses the data binding here. So this is pretty neat, gets us in a good position here. Now the next step that we want to do is let's pull this out and make it so this is really its own standalone element that we can reference inside of the browser without having all of this built in right here. And the way that we can do that is literally we can cut this out of here, clean up our view a little bit. And we're going to do this again in one that makes a tiny bit more sense. But all we do is paste that into there. Now, one thing that we're going to need, I'd like to have these components all completely standalone. So I'm going to actually just comment this out here and copy it and paste it into the top of this actual element. And let's go ahead and save this as our components, my components folder. Let's call this my custom element.html. All right, perfect. So it says that we are relying on Polymer. And that's going to bring us to the next section of one of the four components required for web components. And that's HTML imports. Using HTML imports, we can specify this is a particular file that we should import. In other words, the browser should load. Now, previously we could do this with CSS. Previously we could do this with JavaScript. But we're saying load whatever happens to be in this HTML file. It could be CSS. It could be JavaScript. It could just be HTML. Load it in and only load it once. So if this is duplicated across multiple files, it will only load it in once. And load it in and process it. And then we're going to refer to our own element here as an HTML import. Now, a couple interesting things to note, or maybe one thing that actually stands out here. Mozilla has specified Firefox will not ship HTML imports. And they specify a couple of reasons on a blog post. And there's pros and cons of the approach that they're going to take. They basically said, you know, we feel that there's some other things that are already on the market that came out in ECMAScript 6 that are going to kind of change the requirements here. So we are not going to ship this particular piece. This can already be supported through using polyfills in the browser. So it's something to keep in mind that this, as far as Firefox is concerned, is not going to be supported out of the box. But if you are using a polyfill library going forward, or some other method that I'm sure they'll document more on their site, then you'll be in an okay situation. But just something good to be aware of and read up on. All right, so we have our component specified here as my-custom-element. Let's go back to our web page and copy and paste this value here, because now what we're going to do is we're going to refer to this in the my-components folder. And this was my-custom-element.html. So this is an HTML import. This will actually pull in, let me spell this correctly here, this will actually pull in this HTML file and process it, and it will understand that this is actually a custom element in here. Great way to organize this. So we can literally list all of our own custom elements here, our web components that we want to pull in and clean up our view by just using these custom tag names here. So let's go ahead and go back to the browser, refresh this. See if this still works. Perfect. Still works. Everything's okay. Let's look at our network here. Scroll up here and look for my custom element. There we go, mycustomelement.html. So the browser loads it in and it just works. It's nice and organized. We've talked about three of the four components already that are used for web components, three of the four pieces, I should say. And we've looked at HTML imports. We've looked at doing our templates. And then we've also looked at our custom elements. The last piece that we haven't talked about yet is Shadow DOM. And Shadow DOM is used for creating bits of the DOM that are separate from everything else. And we can see this in use easily when we look at how styles are handled. So what I want to do for this last demo is take this and turn this into an actual web component, something that we can use. So this is going to have a template. It's going to have a custom element. We're going to have an HTML imports, and we're going to use our own custom styles here. Now, there's a couple ways that this can be done, and I believe the Polymer library does it one way. There's also Shadow DOM. So the various libraries from Web Component JS and Web Component Lite, one uses Shadow DOM and one uses another variant. I think that's some polyfill method. So there are a couple different ways of doing this, but they accomplish the same thing, that we are essentially going to be applying our own CSS to our own element and nothing else. So let's look at that. Let's find this guy right here inside of our actual DOM. In fact, we can just look for new comments inside of our markup. New comments. There we go. So new comments. If we scroll up, we can see, I just recognize this as being part of the Bootstrap tags. So we'll know that our content, our inside content, starts right here. And it looks like it goes down to about there. The easier way to do that is just we mouse over here and we collapse it. And let's go ahead and cut that out. So that's from the clipboard. Now let's go ahead and create our own custom element here. And we can call this, that was new comments. So we can just say new comments. And oops, close that off just like that. And we'll save that. So new comments. Now, I've got the template here that we've looked at before. So this is a new Polymer template. And that was new-comments, right? New-comments is our actual element name. So over here, we're going to specify new-comments, new-comments. And one thing I would like to add, too, that when we use this is, when we are creating other HTML elements, we can actually say that a button is one of our custom button types. So we can actually extend existing types. We can say we're going to create a new instance of, for example, button is my custom button. We can do something like that and extend essentially the existing types that are used in our application. So a couple different ways of using that, but I digress. Let's stick back to this one particular example here. You'll notice in this one I have a style tag up top. We've already looked at using scripts. We actually have our template here, And so let's go ahead and do something in our particular style tag for this particular demo. But first, let's go ahead and paste in our content here. So we know that that was on the clipboard. And I just pasted that in. And we could probably just fix this up a little bit here. And then format that back out. Perfect. Now let's say that for this particular style, well, let's save this. And I'm going to save it in my new components folder. This is called new comments.html. And it's prompting me again. Why is it prompting me again? new-comments.html. All right. So in our new comments.html, there is our template tag. We can actually collapse that now. And we're going to keep the script tag as is. And let's actually just run this first and see what it looks like before we even add our own custom styles to this. And so if we go back to our index.html, we have new comments there. Now we just need to make sure that we load our new comments. Notice all this other markup that could be nicely cleaned up. All right, we can just copy paste this because of how we already used the HTML imports for our previous element, our my custom element. We can actually here just say new comments. And we saw that because this is an HTML import, the browser will just load this. Or if you're on a browser that doesn't support it, our web components library that we're importing here, our polyfill, will load that for us. Okay, so save that. Let's go back to the browser and refresh this. And keep an eye on this area. Perfect. Now, if it didn't work, it would actually be blank right now. In fact, if we, let's just put in the wrong location there and reload this again. There we go. So that confirms that is actually loading it from our actual file here using our HTML imports. So that's pretty awesome. Our web component is working. And we also notice, let's reload this, that we're actually getting the styles because it's just, it attaches to this DOM and we're just getting whatever styles are currently active. But what if we want to override this? Maybe we want the font in this particular span to be bold or italicized. So let's go ahead and go back to our actual element here. And let's say that for any of our div and span, why don't we say font weight is going to be bold. And let's say font style is going to be italic. All right. So if we happen to have a particular span in here for any of our content, which we do, that this will be bold and our style will be italic. This will not affect anything outside of this component, so to say, this actual item, because of Shadow DOM. We essentially have our own separate copy that we're working on here, our own little separate private space. Now, we can actually have CSS styles that the host, in other words, the main web page, can specify that will override these. There's syntax for doing that, as well as we can ignore this and use whatever our current content, our current styles are. So we have a couple different ways. We can really hide our implementation, which is this right here, takes precedence over what the browser specifies by default. However, the browser can specify to override this as well. So they have to explicitly do that though. Now, let's just save this and go back and let's see what we look like here. Refresh that. There we go. There is our bolded and italicized content. So pretty cool, right? As I clap my hands together, maybe you could or couldn't hear that. So we've looked at actually taking some bits of content here and bringing this fully out into another file. We've essentially cleaned up that much content and made a reusable component that is simply this new comments. Oops, that was our new dash comments right here. And now anywhere else on our web page that we wanted to use that, we could actually just use new comments somewhere else. Now we might want to maybe include these other particular div styles. That's for you to decide. I just want to show you how you can take that content and tear it out. All right, So we've looked at a couple ways of doing things here. Now, what's next? Because surely there's a lot more to learn. If you want to learn how to do this natively through pure JavaScript, just keep in mind, as I've stressed, this is going to change. Check out customelements.io. There's some Polymer elements that you can use, and also html5rocks.com. Don't forget to check me out on Twitter at Adam Tulliper, where when I find relevant articles and pretty cool things, I like to tweet about them. So hopefully it's not too much spam. Check me out on Twitter, adamt@microsoft.com. And also, if you like this video, go ahead and leave us some good marks on there. Let us know what you like about it. And also in the comments, let us know of other things you want to see in the future too. We're always looking for new contents for the Web Dev Show. Now I just want to show you real quick on the actual custom elements here. If you have a question on how you can take an existing content, for example, maybe you have a jQuery content that you want to wrap and turn it into an actual web component, you can find components out there like the full calendar, which actually wraps other existing jQuery content to make an actual web component. So CustomElements.io will give you other components that other folks have created. The various elements that are published on elements.polymerproject.org. They give you, for example, core elements. So maybe you want something to do an auto-grow text area or something for autocomplete in the web browser. All these different elements that you can use during your web development. And then HTML5rocks.com. I've got to give the guys credit. They've put together a great website here with some really, really nice learning resources for learning HTML5 and web content. Thank you very much. Until next time, signing off, Adam Tulliper. Again, please reach out if you have any questions and follow me on Twitter, and we'll see you on the next Web Dev Show. Thank you very much.